Nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a pig.
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, with a new shipment of marguerite daisies, colorful baskets, vegetables, perennials, and bedding plants. Also, trees, shrubs, and soil amendments. Open every day except Wednesday at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure. But it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice.
And good afternoon. Welcome to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with me on the line from Juneau, Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Ed.
Hi there, Mindy.
Thanks for joining us again today.
You're welcome.
And how's the gardening up there in Juneau?
For more gardening, more planting, more fertilizing, and all whatever else comes along, hauling topsoil, and it's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and fertilizing. Now is the time to be fertilizing, I guess. Certain plants, what should we be fertilizing, what shouldn't we be fertilizing, and what kind of fertilizer should we be using?
Okay, so there's... You go to your local retailer, and there seems like a bewildering assortment of different kinds of fertilizers that are available. And, you know, I can try to help simplify a little bit. Usually we talk, when we're talking about specific plants, whether it be vegetable gardening or planting trees, or maybe even, heaven forbid, lawns, that we talk sometimes about the fertilizers that are needed or not needed. So that's... If you start with, let's get lawns out of the way. Here, I'm parked next to this lovely, lovely green lawn. No doubt they've been well fertilized. And there's hardly any weeds in there. So the folks may very well be using lawn fertilizer with weed and feed. So basically that is a herbicide mixed with the fertilizer. And for fertilizing lawns early in the spring, you would usually start out with a mixture, and there's three numbers usually on the box or on the bag or package, which is for nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. So usually the first fertilizing of a lawn in the spring has a low first number and then higher middle and last numbers. So you have a little bit of nitrogen, lots of phosphorus and potassium, kind of to wake up the plants, get the roots growing, and then we follow that for summertime fertilizing, if you must. So that makes you, of course, it makes you mow more often. A high nitrogen fertilizer. So that first fertilizer might be 832-16, and your second fertilizer for the summertime for lawns may be a 25-5. So that is actually the percentage of the nutrient nitrogen in the fertilizer. So that means 20% of the bag is, or 20 pounds out of every 100 pounds of fertilizer is nitrogen, 5 pounds is phosphorus, 5 pounds is potassium. So that's just real basics. And like I said, they may have the herbicide in there, and what that does, it helps slow down or kill broadleaf weeds. That is any plants other than the grass, which might include clover, and, you know, if you like clover in your lawn because it feeds the lawn, is good for the bees, you wouldn't want to use it feeding the bee.
Right, right. But down south, you know, where my dad lives, it's a contest almost. Who has the nicest looking lawn? So everyone uses herbicide there for sure, I'm sure.
Oh,
of it.
Yeah. And
no clover.
I mean, you dare not. Yeah, you lose serious points if you've got dandelions or clover or whatever in your lawn. So,
yeah,
we can say it isn't. But gardening is a competition. And even for us vegetable and flower growers, to have whether it be the first peas or the biggest dahlias or whatever it happens to be, you know, there is some of that. And so we can get those things by carefully using fertilizer and compost and liquid and granular and all that too. But again, think about what it is you're growing. Look at what you're growing. And for vegetables or for flowers, we can often get away with using the same fertilizers for some of those. If we're growing primarily leafy greens, those do benefit by having more nitrogen, a higher first number. So we might do, again, with an organic fertilizer, it might be an 8-2-4, so which is fairly high in nitrogen, low in phosphorus, and kind of medium for the potassium. If you're thinking about, well, what about my compost? Is my compost good enough? Well, the nutrients in your compost, assuming, say, you're using vegetable waste, maybe you're throwing in some grass clippings that were not fertilized with weed and feed.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be high in nitrogen, the grass clippings would be. The vegetables are lower in some of the other nutrients. You might throw some wood ashes in there. You might, or if you, we mentioned about burning bones, throw that into your compost, and then that goes into the garden that you might bury underneath your plants. Help, and those things will raise the phosphorus and the potassium levels. So again, if you're making compost from plant material, as most of us are, then you're giving back to the plants essentially the same nutrients that are in the plants. That makes sense.
Yes.
Most, I hope.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
So then think about timing. When do we fertilize? Okay, so usually we try to mix some fertilizer in before we plant, and that applies to, you know, you mix in fertilizer before you plant a lawn into the soil or into the garden beds or boxes before you plant your vegetables, potatoes, lettuce, carrots, whatever that happens to be. You know, mix that into the soil down there 2 to 4 inches deep, ideally. And we do our planting. We might use a liquid, like a very diluted liquid fertilizer, and that might be Miracle-Gro, or it might also be, we've talked about using the weed juice. Again, I'm taking the weeds and plant material without any completed flowers or seed heads. Put them in a bucket, maybe with a few handfuls of seaweed too, and fill that with water. And that liquid, that brown slimy stuff that we get as they ferment after a week or two, then we take that and dilute it about 5-to-1, feed it back to the plants. So again, we're feeding the plants with plant material, plant food, plant, you know, food from plants, essentially.
Ed?
So that works well.
What's the best way to feed that to your plants? You know, of course, I can put mine in a spray bottle or whatever, but how do you suggest feeding that back into your plants? Just with a watering can? What do you use?
Yeah, a watering can is as good as any. Usually, unless I know there's folks who will use soaker hoses, or they may even have drip irrigation if they're a little more high-tech oriented. The problem with using something like the weed juice, you'd have to filter it, and that stuff is difficult to run through a filter. Trust me on this.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you're using, you know, Miracle-Gro, it dissolves really well. It can go through something like that. And they have special dissolvable or soluble fertilizers for that sort of application. But otherwise, yeah, just a watering can, you know, cut off milk jugs, buckets, whatever you, if you're mixing your fertilizer into buckets, say, then just dip it out, pour it in and around the plant, the base of the plants. Certainly, it's good to use a little bit, again, diluted for putting in new transplants of cabbage or broccoli or Swiss chard or lettuce or something like that. So then that gets a little bit of a start for them to get them growing. And so that liquid fertilizer goes to the roots of the plants. You can also use some of these, and again, it's worth reading up a little bit more about foliar feeding. So again, you've got this liquid fertilizer, you can actually, and it needs to be diluted carefully, but you can spray it on the leaves of the plants, and the plants will absorb a certain amount of that, and whatever drips off then goes into the soil and benefits the roots too. So all of that's what we're aiming for, And then, okay, so give them some when they started growing. We might use some liquid fertilizer when they're up, when the plants are up and leafed out. We may, depending on how much rainfall we get, we may even side dress, actually take some of our granular fertilizer and say along beside the row, like even when we're hilling potatoes, you could, before you hill the potatoes up, you could sprinkle a little fertilizer on the soil beside them and then pile that over and around the plants. So again, the new roots and shoots that come off from the plant and grow out into that fertilized soil and then can take advantage of that. With trees and shrubs, there's choices, of course. Again, a little very light fertilizer, usually when we're planting. Using some of that liquid stuff is good, or some compost around the trees that then gets watered into the soil as we water. There are tree spikes, which are available, and there's usually a couple of different kinds of those for fruit trees or flowering trees or maybe for evergreens and rhododendrons. And those spikes are just solidified fertilizer that can be pounded in, poked in or pounded in around the tree, around the drip line near the outer edges where the roots are growing. And then that is usually a slow-release fertilizer, as most organics are fairly slow-release fertilizers. So again, that then the rains or your watering will help dissolve some of the fertilizer. The tree roots will grow out and around them and take some of that up. And with trees and shrubs, usually we want to stop fertilizing by the 1st of July or so, so that we're not going to stimulate late growth. We've talked about this. So we don't want to give them a bunch of fertilizer in July or August. That might then stimulate a new flush of tender green growth that isn't going to get a chance to harden off before fall and before frost, so that that new tender growth then gets killed off again, which can weaken the tree. So timing on when you fertilize early and maybe mid-season, and then just back off with that, put some seaweed on and around the trees and shrubs and maybe some perennials in the fall. But again, that's going to be very slow to break down in the fall, winter, and early spring.
Okay, and then I just want to mention, too, more fertilizer is not necessarily best, right? You could fertilize things too much, too.
Oh, absolutely. And it's really easy. Drive around Petersburg on a sunny Saturday, about 3 or 4 days after a sunny Saturday. Look at people's lawns, and it's really easy to see where they've been fertilizing. If they are just, taking handfuls and just flinging it out on the lawn, then you see these brown crescents across where too much fertilizer, or it might be yellow, where just too much has damaged the lawn. Or if they're using a drop spreader, one of these that roll, you roll it along and it just drops out of the bottom. And then if they make some interesting patterns where you may see a checkerboard pattern where you see dark green and light green stripes or squares that if they crisscrossed, then there will be places where they essentially have double the fertilizer, like in the middle of the squares. So it's really easy to see what happens. So you're better off spreading out your fertilizer. Give them half as much fertilizer per time you fertilize. You know, it may say, okay, you're supposed to put on 5 pounds per 1,000 square feet of lawn, and you measure out how much you have. And so just give it 2.5 pounds today. Ideally, you get rain after you fertilize, or you water after you fertilize, so it get washed into the ground. Then come back 2 weeks or even a month later and do the same thing again. So you aren't giving this big flush of growth or damaging the plants by actually killing some parts, tender tops or roots, rather giving them more of a steady amount of fertilizer food. You know, it's just like eating, eat a great big meal and then you starve yourself for 3 days and eat another great big meal. Well, you don't feel so good doing that, and the lawn or the garden doesn't either. So yes, a little bit of fertilizer applied several times, or again using the slow release. And again, normally the packages may say that these particular fertilizers are slow release fertilizer or works for 6 months or something like that.
Okay, Ed, we have a caller, so we're going to go ahead and head over to the phone line here. And if anyone has a call, they'd like to ask Ed a question. 772-3808 is our phone number. Welcome, caller on line one.
Hello.
Hi, caller.
Hi, Ed and Mindy. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're good. How about you?
Good, good. I just got a question for you guys about lilac. A friend's lilac is doing well and it's blooming, but a strange thing has happened. It's gone from purple to white, and it still has a few purple blossoms on there. And we're wondering as if it could be the wood ash from his wood stove he puts on it, or the neighbor's white lilac, and maybe the bees cross-pollinating or something. Why would this plant change color?
Ed?
Okay. Well, it's a great question, and I have folks ask about that or other plants sometimes seeming to change color. Adding the wood ashes probably didn't. What does occasionally happen with plants, and it's fairly random. I mean, it can be literally a mutation or a spore, where that's what it's called at least, where you do get this strange growth, different growth than what you think you have. Sometimes, and of course, sometimes it also happens if trees or shrubs are grafted too. So sometimes a rootstock will grow up alongside, or even if, I mean, it is odd that you'd have that much of a change from lavender to, or purple to white, but whether there was actually two plants in the, I don't know, in the pot or in the plant that just started out growing slowly, the lavender one, the purple one may have grown faster to start with, and then the white one started to grow. So fertilizing isn't likely to change lilacs. It can change hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of famous for that, because if you change the pH around one of those, you can change it from blue to pink.
Mm-hmm.
Blue is with more acid conditions. The pink is with more alkaline conditions. So your guess about the wood ashes is not that far off, but that would be unusual for a lilac.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's just probably something with the grafting or anomaly about it.
The thing that happens, too, if you see, a strange growth on a plant, so say if, part of it or much of it is normal, you get one odd branch, if you like it, leave it alone. If you don't like it, prune it off.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, most of the plant, it used to be like lavender color, and it's reverted now to probably about 95% white now. There's still a few lavender blossoms out on certain branches, but when you look at it, most of it's white now.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the same single plant,
that
too.
Is
it's
different, very different for a lilac.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say. I have never heard of the changing nutrient levels doing that to lilacs, but maybe.
Okay. Well, thank you kindly.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Day.
Have a good day.
Take advantage. I guess, it would have been nice if you'd taken pictures of this over several years so you could see the progression of this, too.
Oh, yeah. That would be, yeah. Maybe you can still do that to friends, but yeah.
Does it still smell wonderful?
Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
What happens in future years, too, I suppose.
Well, we kind of thought maybe it was because the neighbor has a very big white lilac, and we thought maybe something with the cross-pollination or something might have done something.
That isn't likely to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you'll see something that's more famous, although, again, normally it's actually seeds growing, is with very commonly with columbines, where
mm-hmm.
you may have purple columbines or you may have yellow ones or other different colors. But, again, the bees and the hummingbirds do a lot of cross-pollination with them, and the seeds and seedlings then that come out, it seems like they gradually revert back to the wild type, which is the, the red and orange,
mm-hmm.
Red, orange, yellow type.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, those are then new, they are hybrid plants,
mm-hmm.
seed. Whereas lilacs, usually we aren't getting, we're rarely getting lilac seeds normally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
all right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank
Have a
you.
Good weekend.
Bye-bye.
So basically, it's a curiosity. I guess that's what I would call it.
Okay. Well, he is off the line now, Ed, and we were talking about fertilizers. Is there anything else you want to mention about fertilizer or maybe composting or perhaps, I don't know what your weather conditions been up there in Juneau the last couple of days, if it's been dry or rainy, if you've been watering. It seems like when it does rain here, it gets dry pretty fast right now.
Yeah, and we've had, well, for Juneau, we started out, of course, the first week of June May was very wet. We probably had 3 inches of rain that first week. And then it's been dry since then. And certainly even where I'm sitting here, I'm seeing dusty conditions, along the highway where they're tearing up my highway, among other things too. I'm careful not to complain about the dust, really. We shouldn't. But it has been kind of cloudy, so we're not getting that hot of temperatures, but still plants are drying out. Very definitely the hanging baskets and containerized plants. I've got lots of trees, of course, you've seen lots of containers. So I've got to definitely water those and watch. And it can be a challenge just how you water is because the first time around, if the plants have gotten very dry and the soil has shrunk away from the sides of the pots, you know, that the water just flows down beside the pots. So very often you may need to do a light sprinkling to kind of help start the expansion of the soil again and then come back perhaps an hour or two later and water them again. And that kind of, this kind of goes along with fertilizing too, that you don't want to be fertilizing using the liquid fertilizer on these really dry plants.
Okay.
Because they can be damaged too. So you want to moisten the plants first and then come back again like a few hours later with your diluted liquid fertilizer, because then the soil is moist and the roots are basically have been kind of woken up. They've almost gone dormant while they've been dry. So then they can take up this fertilizer more easily, so you're not wasting it.
Okay, yes, we have to be careful about that. I put a lot of my plants in terracotta pots on the porch, and they dry out, I think, a little faster in terracotta. So I do need to keep an eye on those, especially if it's been windy at all.
Very definitely, yeah, because mm-hmm. they're losing moisture through the sides of the pot compared to a plastic pot.
Right.
So, yeah, and then whether you, there are these, a variety of these pots, they say they're self-watering. They actually have kind of a reservoir in the bottom of the pot that will hold some water. It drains out of the pot into this reservoir, but then assuming that the roots grow down in there, then they can still pull some moisture up out of there, which can be a good thing too, as long as it isn't so wet. You know, again, we haven't had that wet of conditions for them to stay permanently saturated, which is not a good thing for most things other than, well, maybe moss and willows and some other stuff that like that wet condition. So you've got to think about your soil and how much moisture can they hold, and whether you're using, if you buy some of the potting soil that has the, they may call it water control potting soil, or having water control granules in there which hold more moisture too. So again, you kind of have to get to know how long you can go between waterings, or again, just provide them with steady water, because most plants grow better with a steady diet of food and liquid. You know, both of them are essential for plant growth.
Uh-huh. All right. And what about planting? What can we still plant this weekend if we want to get some planting in, or somebody just decides, hey, I haven't done any planting yet, but my husband just finished the bed and now we can put some plants in. What can we do?
There are very few limitations of what you can plant now. I mean, everything, I might not be planting tomato plants, at least starting new ones from seed, or peppers or celery or onions, just because they are so slow. But certainly if you have tomato plants, they can grow in the ground. If you have access, if you still have, your local folks have onion sets, those can certainly grow in the ground or starts. And seeds, no limitations. Everything, potatoes, I still have potatoes to plant. I want to plant some more of those. Carrots, lettuce, all the other root crops can certainly go in the ground. I would say don't plant any radishes or spinach now until maybe mid to late July when the day length hours are decreasing. So just because if you plant them now, they're going to bolt almost as soon as they sprout out of the ground.
Right.
But everything else can certainly be planted now. The soil is warm. This is ideal conditions for that. And again, think about, too, if you want to plant, you know, later crops of lettuce or broccoli or Swiss chard or any of that, are your, if you don't have the seeds yourself already, you're, depending on your local retailers, you want to make sure you buy those seeds now, because they'll, you know, they'll get rid of them by mid-June or something like that, and you won't be able to have any unless you order them, you know, order them from a catalog online. So get the seeds that you may want to do for later summer planting. Get some more peas in the ground. Certainly I need to do that. So there's, you know, I've got several stages of different things coming up, like my potatoes, and still more to plant. So some of them have been I hilled them once, so they're 6 or 8 inches tall of the potatoes, at least the first batch.
All right. Anything else you want to?
Summer has hardly even begun yet. Spring is just well underway. Let's put it that way. You know, it's 4 weeks till the first day of summer. So we got lots of time and lots of planting to do and weeding.
That's right. I know. I got to start on that the other day, and I'm trying to attack those weeds, and I'll be doing a little bit more this weekend. Any other gardening tips before we finish up here, Ed? Let you get back to your gardening.
Oh, get out in the garden and enjoy and harvest. I mean, if you're lucky enough, I was just over at a school garden. I was showing the teacher some of the interesting, tasty weeds like chickweed and sheep sorrel that she could introduce to her students here, that she had no idea that some of these weeds were edible. And they're doing rather well in that garden, as luck would have it. So learn about some of the weeds. Yeah, the chickweed and sheep sorrel are good stuff to use. Toss them in your salads along with kale and spinach and whatever else you have that's up and growing. So it's time to enjoy the fruits of our labors.
Okay, Ed, we'll talk next week. You're going to be in town?
I will be. Plan to be in town till sometime in August. So no major travel plans for a while.
All right. Well, then we'll give you a call next week and we'll talk again about gardening.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye,
have a great
Mindy.
Day. Bye-bye.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden.
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, with a new shipment of marguerite daisies, colorful baskets, vegetables, perennials, and bedding plants. Also trees, shrubs, and soil amendments. Open every day except Wednesday at 6 Rory Road, Papkeys Landing.
What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Tomato seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes, never yard.